Hey there, it's Bebe, and this is my first ever AMA. If you've been following the saga, I had never done one because honestly, I never really considered it worth anyone's time to listen. I don't mean that in a self-deprecating way. I just didn't. So I decided after 4 years, of doing this to try one, and I rather unthinkingly solicited questions through a Google Doc. At the time that I put it out there, I wasn't thinking it seemed like to make sense, but the questions that I came back, some of them were really kind of disturbing, so I'm not going to validate them by telling you what they were or answering them, but rather dive into all the really cool and interesting and lovely questions that the rest of you asked me, especially those of you that sent me some after I shared what had happened. So I appreciate that. Thank you. And these aren't in any particular order, and I haven't particularly thought about them. Some of them were tricky, so I did do a little planning. But that's kind of my personality anyway. There's no particular order. Whose podcast would I like to be on? I don't know that I would have any business being on it, but I would love to be on Malcolm Gladwell's podcast. I do have a not so secret crush on that man. The hair
just gets me.
Okay. Would you rather never have travel problems or never have technology problems? I'm not sure why I would have to choose between those two, but I would say never have travel problems. Who would you like to play you in a film of your life? Mary McCormick, hands down. I love that woman. Which TV character would you like to be the neighbor of? For example, you live in the show's world. I don't watch a ton of TV. I think it'd be cool to live next door to the couple at the center of This Is Us. The parents, back when they were young, they seem like they would have been really fun people to hang out with. Would you rather always feel like your underwear was too tight or that your socks were damp? Okay, I don't want to know what the scenario is that I have to decide between those two things. So I'm just going to move along here. Let's see. Would I rather live in a large, comfy home in a particular place or multiple small places in a variety of locations? Oh, I definitely multiple small places in a variety of locations. Assuming, of course, money is no object and there I can, you know, travel to all these places instantly. Would an older, wealthy man or a young, poorer man be more appealing? I think that's kind of a false choice to have to make. I think that definitely men of certain age who have navigated life to some extent, learned from it, maybe been beaten up by it a little bit, tend to be more attractive to me at this point in my life. What would a lover have to do that he would be special compared to others? Wouldn't you like to know? And the follow-up question to that, what can you do to deserve the man of your dreams? Sweetheart, I'm sorry, but I already deserve the man of my dreams. We all do. We all do. I mean, let's face it, we all do. Okay. Does posting still make you nervous? No, not particularly. I will say I get nervous about no one listening and not having an audience. That is a little, gets me a little nervous. What do you get out of sharing erotic recordings, and how important is feedback for this? Well, that's a loaded question. It's a creative outlet. It's certainly a sexual outlet. It has been a very important outlet for discovering who I am at this point in my life. I feel like I've done a lot of growing throughout this process. I did a post years ago, and it was simply called Audio Porn. Who knew? And that's what it was about, really, was just how powerful and transformative it can be for some people. What are your audio script pet peeves? I really dislike pet names. Pet names acontextually. I adore pet names in a relationship if they have, you know, evolved in said relationship. If they've been, you know, earned, so to speak. But the hey baby, hey honey stuff, no thank you. Do you feel like you have a persona on here, and how is she different from the real BB? We are pretty damn close. Certainly, I think BB is allowed to say things that I can't say in the real world. And she has certainly creeped into my real life. For example, there was one day I was having lunch with some people from work, and there were several people in the conversation, and somebody misheard something that someone else said and thought they had said BDSM. And, you know, we chuckled about it, and then someone says, what does the D stand for in BDSM? And they're going around the table, and it's, they have no clue. And I'm sitting there, and I'm eating my salad, and I just like stopped, and I'm like, guys, it's bondage and discipline. And went back to my salad, and everybody just turned and looked at me like, whoa, where did that come from? And then I realized, oh shit, I probably shouldn't have done that. Okay. Yes, we were all grown-ups, but the context wasn't very appropriate. How deep do you feel you are in the community? Are you on Discords or other sub-communities? Yeah, I post on some other subs. I'm not very deep in the community. I was at one time. And I'll be honest, there was some pettiness that I just was not enjoying and kind of took a step back. Have you made friendships on here that would endure even if you, absolutely, yes. Yes, I have, and you know who you are. Is there a kink that I'm burning to make an audio about but haven't yet? I don't think so. I think I've kind of gone into those dark corners of my mind already. And some corners have gotten more wear and tear than others. Have your own audios ever turned you on? If I'm being totally honest, yes. Are there things that get you hot in audios but would leave you cold in real life, or vice versa? No, I think the things that I find scintillating in audios, I would definitely find scintillating in real life. If you started dating someone tomorrow, oh boy, how comfortable would you be with them quickly learning a lot about you through your audios? When would you tell them about your hobby? Honestly, it's one of my biggest fears. Yeah, I don't know, because if the shoe were on the other foot, I think I would feel that it was a lie of omission. that if I was in a serious relationship, you know, real trusting, loving relationship, I would want to know. I would hope that he would want me to know. But honestly, it's a territory I have not been through and don't know what I would do. I did date someone once who kind of put two and two together for a moment, and luckily he was a decent enough person that he left it alone. Should they, meaning the partner, get a say, like reserving some fantasies only for them? Well, I don't know if they should get a say, but I would love them to have a say if they wanted that. I imagine that for some people, and I don't know, I might be one of them, that having a partner who makes audios that are erotic and deeply personal might feel like there are things that get shared that they wish were only for them. So, I mean, I personally would have no problem saying, you know, there would be a certain things that I just didn't post about because it meant that much to them. Ooh, can posting or listening to audios stave off loneliness? Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to be super honest on this one. For me, no. In fact, sometimes listening to audios, if it's something that I find particularly, something that I really desire, not necessarily kink-wise, it's usually more intimacy-wise or connection, it'll actually make me very sad and I have to stop listening. What have you discovered about yourself through erotic audios? Oh, how much time do we have? So much. I mean, if I were to answer this very briefly, it would be, yes, I certainly liked sex and had sex and enjoyed sex and saw myself as a sexual creature before doing this. Since, though, and the world that has opened up to me, not just the audios, but where those audios have, the communities that those audios have led me into, there's been a real sense of empowerment that's come from that, for me, anyway. How's an erotic audio had an impact on what you look for in a partner? Oh, man. Yes. Mm-hmm. There were things that I didn't know really existed in real life. And I don't mean physical or kinky things. Again, more of the intimacy, connection, the supportiveness. Yeah. I don't know if that is still out there, but yes, very much so. Would you include erotic audio in real life sex, like a vibrator for the brain? If so, audios by others or audios by either one of you? I try anything once. I haven't had that opportunity, really. I don't think there would be ones that I made. I did have an idea once for an audio, and I'm sure someone has done it, where he would have earbuds in listening to me while fucking me. That sounds kind of hot. I don't have any idea how the logistics of that would work out, but that intrigues me. Okay, these are some pretty heavy ones. How do you feel as a woman in the erotic audio space? It depends on the day for me. There are days when it feels very empowering. And there are other days when, I'm just going to say it, I feel like a whore. Some people will make you feel that way. I get a lot of people who will be listening to an audio and try to engage me in a conversation while they're listening because they want that added titillation of talking to the performer while listening to them. They want that that connection, that real life connection. And I don't think that they necessarily mean to make you feel bad. I think maybe they're just very aroused by the audio content and they want more. And that seems to be a logical step into looking for more. Is there a big difference between what's happening in open comments and in private messages and chats? Well, I can only speak to my own experience. Not surprisingly, people tend to be a bit more civil in comments because they can be seen by others. And messages and chats can go in a different direction because they feel, I'm assuming, like there is no watching eyes. Why do we suspect things are the way they are? Accountability or lack thereof. You know, you put something in a comment and others see it, people can respond to it if they feel the need. But if they're just responding to the performer in a comment or a chat, you know, the performer is the only audience and therefore has to defend themselves. From what you know, would you prefer posting as a man? From what I know, yeah. Yes. I don't believe, I could be wrong, but from male performers that I have known, it doesn't seem like they get some of the scarier shit. And I am going to chalk that up just to plain old sexism, that women, I don't think, because we know very well what it feels like to be, sexually discriminated against, second guessed because you're female, all that good stuff. I think maybe we're less likely to inflict it on others. That's a generalization. There are exceptions to every rule. I know for me, it's why I don't get into humiliation and degradation, because I've experienced that in real life, and why would I ever want to inflict that on someone else? It's not a judgment of people who enjoy it, just saying that that's my personal reason why I'm not into it. It started raining here, so if you hear that sound effect in the background, it's not actually a sound effect. It's actually raining pretty hard out. Okay, a couple more questions. Let's see. What stereotype about your country, ethnicity do you like the most? Well, as an American, the ugly American has unfortunately withstood the test of time. Thank you, Mr. James. Our idea that we are the center of the universe and the best at everything is pretty embarrassing. What is the dumbest or funniest sexual encounter you have ever had? The dumbest sexual encounter? I'm going to go with the funniest. Okay. And I've told this story before, so I'm going to keep it short. But, once traveling in Europe, I had sex on a overnight train and it was freaking amazing. But in the middle of it, there was a knock on the door of our cabin, if you can call it that. And I threw a sheet around me and I went to the door. And here was this, you know, really young, I don't know what you call him, not a bellhop, but, you know, it's a porter or something, who needed to check passports because we were passing through a teeny tiny sliver of Belgium. And I was, you know, very obviously just having sex. And he was adorable. He was embarrassed. And I, you know, English was not his first language. And I may or may not have flirted with him. It was funny at the time. What physical aspect of the male, if possible female as well, body turns you on the most? Okay, there's two. One, which I fully acknowledge is a unfair one, but when men have developed those lower abdominal muscles that make kind of a V, you know what I'm talking about. And I think it's not so much that it is muscle development as it is the way it draws your eye that it's hard to ignore. But on pretty much any man, I am a slut for forearms. I am. I don't know what it is. There's a whole subreddit for it, if you didn't already know that. But yeah, love forearms. Women, I think women are beautiful. I've made no secret about the fact that I have explored with women. I don't consider myself bi. I just have played with women on occasion. They don't particularly turn me on, but they are a wonderful tactile experience. And the back of a woman's neck is just lovely. Lovely, you know, her hair is up. Okay. What time of day are you the horniest? Who knows, but usually it's before bed. What's your ideal amount of sex per week? That depends. Favorite sex position and why? I have to pick one. I think there's so many that, depending upon the relationship and the moment, can be... It depends on the relationship and the moment, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Which fictional character do you want to have sex with most and why? Robert Redford's character in Out of Africa, Dennis. I loved the way his character is introduced before we even meet him. We're in his like room at a gentleman's club, a really old gentleman's club, and he's got all these books, and someone tells the main character that he takes his books very seriously and he has severed friendships over books not being returned. Come on, his character is just sexy as hell in that movie. Okay, back to the questions. If you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, what advice would you give her? Loosen up. Life is short. If all the... Sorry, this is brilliant. If all the sex toys you own came to life, like Toy Story style, how would they behave and what would they talk about? Oh my God. Well, I think they'd probably all complain about the fact that they're largely neglected in favor of my womanizer. they'd probably bitch about the fact that I play favorites and that every time my hand reaches into that box under the bed in the dark, they hope and dream that they're going to be the one chosen. But no, every time it's that goddamn womanizer. How much does religion matter to you in a relationship? Would you be okay with dating someone that believes in God? Would you be more comfortable with a partner who did not believe in God? I don't know. I've always been in a relationship with someone who shared my religious belief / position. I would like to think it wouldn't matter. I'm an atheist. I am a former devout Catholic. So I do understand and appreciate how God can be at the center of one's life philosophy. My experience, however, has been that for some people, not all, those who believe in a deity tend to think that not believing in some higher power is a deficit of a kind that needs to be filled. When it comes to politics, would you be okay with dating someone on the opposite spectrum? It would depend. It would depend on if their politics, if they were, like, say, socially conservative versus financially conservative, whether their opinions were, say, about the role of government in society or on something like women's reproductive freedom. It would really, really depend. When you're dating someone new, do you think serious topics, questions should be avoided, saved for later, and keep the dates casual, or should they be talked about as early as possible? Let's say we're referring to the first 3 or 4 dates. Certainly not on the first date. I would say avoid the 3 biggies, the religion, politics, and exes. I have been on a date. I was on a date once where the guy, all he could talk about was his ex-wife and what a bitch she was. And this is someone that I had talked to on a dating app for a couple of days. I mean, I had gotten a feel for him enough to think, yeah, I'd have dinner with him. And then, wow, I didn't even open my mouth. He just went. And so I finally said, you know, hey, yeah, this is, I don't think this is going to work. And he's like, but I want to know about you. And I said, look, I'm not trying to be, you know, that kind of person. But if that were the case, you wouldn't have just talked this whole time about your ex-wife. Okay. We hear about toxic masculinity a lot, but do you think there's such a thing as toxic femininity? Absolutely. I think all of our gender constructs are to some extent toxic. I don't know how you escape it. I think that it varies, and I would not equate a toxic masculinity with a toxic feminine. Oh my God, this is so messy. Yes, I'll just leave it at that. Yes, there is a toxic femininity. I think one of the most dangerous things that, at least in the United States, we teach girls, or at least we give them the message, is that you should play hard to get. I get where that comes from. I get that probably somewhere originally it was, you know, to protect girls from being taken advantage of. But it has turned into a very key component of rape culture, and it's a big problem. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do dad jokes turn you on? Oh, baby. I don't know. That's kind of cute. I think if somebody knows dad jokes, especially if they're a dad, that's actually very attractive. I don't know. It's a stereotype, but women love guys who are good with kids. Have I ever cheated on anyone? No. You're in the kitchen cleaning dishes. Your husband comes from behind, spanks your ass super hard, and then runs away. How do you respond? Why is he running away? I would wait for him to come back, and then I would show him my appreciation. Gonna get super personal here. If you've listened this long, here's your reward. I actually had that conversation with a partner once where I said, you know, how come you never slap my ass? And my reasoning was, it's a sign of intimacy, in my opinion, when it's done playfully or in public. It's something that only that person gets to do. And I find it endearing. And they just said, you know, oh, well, if you really like that, I'll do it. And they did it once, and then that was the end of that. I happen to like that in the context of, you know, a meaningful relationship. Cats or dogs? Definitely dogs. I'm actually very allergic to cats. I'm going down this list. Some of these I'm not going to answer. How do I feel about PDA? I kind of love it. Nothing that would make other people feel uncomfortable. I'm very much a practitioner of the idea that everyone has to give consent. So even though I do have a kink about public sex, I would never put someone in a position where they were unwittingly part of that, where they stumbled upon you or something. The public experiences that I've had have been in settings where everyone coming to that space expects that that's something they might see. Do I have a favorite place to record? No. Do you want to be a hot wife? Have you ever visited our hot wife? I'll be honest, not entirely sure what that means. I'm guessing it means that you are married, you are hot, and your partner likes sharing you or showing you off. Exhibitionist tendencies, that sounds pretty hot, if that's what you mean by that. All right, two final questions. Okay, and I did save these two for last because I just thought they were beautiful. The first one is, music is something that has inspired me, soothed me, excited me, and touched me. What is your relationship to music? And if it's like mine, what are the best memories you have that are brought back to you when you listen to that music? I don't think I've made a secret of the fact that I am a musician. I grew up in a family of musicians. I still live with musicians. I still perform. Music has always been a big, big part of my life. I think the thing that I never appreciated when I was a kid was the fact that the music in my house was always live. Not always, but many times. And that, you know, when I became an adult and had a home of my own, I realized I didn't do that nearly as much, and I wish I had. I am deeply affected by music. Music will make me cry rather easily for a variety of reasons. And I've stopped apologizing for that. As far as best memories, I have to say the ones that come back to me, and this might sound cheesy, but have to do with the AM radio in my mom's kitchen. The music that would come out of that little plastic dial-operated radio are songs that when I hear them, just take me back. They just take me back to that place. And it's a lot of 70s, early 70s music. And a lot of it, honestly, is captured rather adeptly in Everclear's song AM Radio. I like that song for that reason. They seem to catch the general vibe of what I'm talking about. And if you are of a certain age, I think you know what I mean. The last one, what do you feel is the most inspiring positive thing about humanity? Is there anyone in particular that exemplifies or embodies that for you? If not, who is the person that most inspires you? I think there are a few things. I think human creativity is a rather wondrous thing. Some people will say there's no such thing as a new idea. And, while that might be true, there are new interpretations of ideas, there's new presentations of ideas. And yeah, there are some new ideas. I really do believe that. And the ability to create something from nothing is, I just think, amazing. Maybe because I do that in a couple of different arenas. But yeah, there's a TikTok sound that is going around right now that says something to the effect of, "I made this. This came from my hands." And they're artists, presenting their stuff. And I like that. I like that. I feel that way sometimes when things work out really well. I think that people's capacity for change, while rare, is also astounding. I never used to think too much about this until relatively recently, when my life changed dramatically and I had a decision to make. I had to choose what kind of person I was going to be. And to be able to do that, I think, is uniquely human. Oh, the rain is really picking up. And lastly, I think our capacity to help each other be the best that we can be, to be that person who lifts someone else up or helps someone see how amazing they are, help someone see their potential. I was lucky enough to know someone once who made me want to be the best version of myself. And that was pretty special. So I think if you're lucky enough to have one of those people in your life, hang on to them. Okay. Wow, it is pouring. I love the rain. And on that note, I am going to sign off. Thanks for listening, and thank you for all the lovely questions. Bye.